we're against time. Sarah?
One of the observations made by the WC in relation to the Institute's own consequential is that all of them should perform an audit of the personnel files if that hasn't already been carried out. I'm just wondering how many such audits have already been undertaken and how many remain to be undertaken, and are you going to give an instruction to your members to start this auditing of their files, and would it be done by internal members and members of those institutes, or will you appoint outside external ladies to be audited?
All religious congregations signed up to the Memorandum of Understanding, giving an undertaking to implement all the guidelines coming out from the National Board.
Okay.
They have also undertaken, in some instances, with outside expertise, and they are part of the audits, and they are also part of the ongoing audit by the National Board with the diocese.
Okay, Michael Kelly.
The Irish Catholic newspaper. One of the observations about the seminaries is that greater concern should be shown that the theological formation is in full conformity with the Church's magisterium. Now, presumably that has been the responsibility of the trustees of the seminary to ensure that that was the case before now. The visitors have obviously identified that wasn't the case. What do you think Cardinal Brady has been lacking in the oversight of the seminaries, that the theological formation hasn't been sufficiently orthodox as the Holy See would like, and what way will the trustees remedy it?
Well, there's a call for more hands-on governance of the seminaries on the part of the trustees, although I should say that here in Maynooth, for example, the trustees meet four times a year. That's preceded by a meeting with the visitors of the seminary. That issue of the formation, that's one of the things we'll have to tease out with the congregation, what exactly it involves. It could involve to make sure that we are teaching the right subjects. There are a number of hours I've given. Admit that the balance between academic and pastoral is right. It's not necessarily the conclusion might not be the one we all jump to, you know.
But you haven't noticed the lack of full conformity in the seminaries, or
it hasn't been a big issue in the seminaries. Really. We have also visitors. There are two members of the conference who visit the seminary. This has not.
So you haven't noticed what the visitors do?
We'll have to. They say that make sure that it is in conformity with the magisterium. That is a big concern, because that's what a visitation is about. As I said before, it's about the implications of faith in a given situation. If they have not noticed this and reported to us, then of course we have a duty to respond to that, and we will respond to it.
I think the matter is certainly taken up in the appointment of new professors. In each case these are carefully examined, both by the faculty and by the trustees, and in some cases they require the nihil opposite of the Holy See for their appointment. In looking for new candidates for as teachers, this is a matter that is very seriously addressed.
Irish Independent.
I'm Colin Kelly, Irish Independent. Colonel, there's been a lot of talk of renewal of the church, especially going into the Eucharistic Congress. Just following on a lot of that, did you yourself obviously suffer a lot of criticism for your own involvement, I suppose, in the Grand Movement there? For people who have lost faith and for those who have been abused, do you believe that you are the right man to lead the church into that period of renewal? Do you believe that you are a credible leader to those people?
Well, I was involved in 1975 in that investigation. I carried out my role, limited role that it was, and took the as a secretary, taking down the notes, handed those to my bishop, who in turn handed them to the abbot of the monastery. And that is precisely the way the things would still be done today. That would be the designated person. I've discussed this with the officials in the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith at the highest level, and they have assured me that that was the appropriate way to act.
Cardinal Brady, wouldn't they also go to civil authorities today?
Yes, that's today. Yes, that's the difference today. Yes.
Okay,
and I regret that I didn't know the impact of this abuse on children. But I did to the best of my ability, according to my letter at the time, what I thought was should what should have been done.
And we are also saying over time, it would still be done today. It's not necessarily good enough for a victim to say that basically you failed to act on should have acted.
Okay,
just two brief questions. It's to do with this reflection on the reconfiguration of Irish diocese. What status has it had? Is that reflection at all? Number one, in these ecclesial communities involving young people, what are we talking about there? Is it
we're talking a whole host of groups that exist, for example, the Neo-Catechumenal Movement, Comunio Liberazione, Sant'Egidio, many, which are making a big contribution. Anybody who was at World Youth Day in Spain or any of the World Youth Days will know the contribution these are making. It's an appeal to us to not be so maybe arrogant, if you like, to use a word that was phrased, to think that we have nothing to learn from these movements, because there's a huge amount to be learned. What was the first part of the question?
The diocese.
Well, that preceded the visitation and all of this in a letter from Cardinal Ray, the prefect, a few years ago, that we take up this. We have a committee, we've made some initial proposals, but we didn't want it to be linked with the child sexual abuse matter, because that's not the scene. But as you see in the report there, it's ongoing business. The new element is that it must be done in consultation with the local communities.
Two last questions, Joe.
The local Catholics,
I think.
Yes. Joe, go ahead.
Can each, perhaps the primate of Ireland and the nuncio, can you tell us what the serious situation is that requires particular attention regarding priests, religious and laity who hold theological opinions at variance with the teachings of the teaching authority of the Church? It's at the bottom of page
yes.
6.
Yes.
And what feedback did you get, Cardinal, about the dissent within the Catholic Church and how it might be handled? What is the principal issue on which there is dissent, can you tell?
I'm not sure how much feedback we got on that, but this is one of the things that will have to be obviously taken up in the ongoing discussions. You know, we have now had this publication, this document. We've been awaiting this. These are the conclusions of the report, and the prospects for the future. This is one of the prospects for the future that this situation must be addressed.
Okay. Surely, as an interlocutor in the visitation in Armagh, you've got some kind of indication of what dissent.
Not on this one. No, not really.
Archbishop Martin, did you hear anything?
I think there might have been some comment in it with regard to the teaching of theology in the seminaries. However, you
on what particular matters?
I think there are basic ecclesiological issues. Here it's very clear: certain tendency, not dominant, but nevertheless widespread, of an understanding of the Church. In which really there is no teaching, or the teaching authority is relativized. I think we could do some more reflection on the concept of office in the Church. What is office of a bishop or of a priest? This is an essential part of the. There are some people in Ireland who would say, let's move away from Rome. But the role of the Bishop of Rome is fundamental in our understanding of what the Church is. There are some of these issues. I'm not saying that we're going out heresy hunting, but what we should be doing is carrying on a dialogue with the theological community, also in sharpening the reflection that's there, and in addressing areas that maybe go beyond what is really acceptable within the realm of Catholic theology.
Okay. We're over time.
Yeah, okay. Just on ecclesial movements, and I want to get questions around the role of the laity. Ecclesial movements mostly are, in fact, I think they're all important from Italy and Spain, and I don't think they've been significant, made significant. very significant contributions to the overall church. They've made their local contributions, and in fact the Santa Giulia movement came to Dublin and failed in the Dublin Archdiocese, so and there's no reflection on the Archbishop or the Archdiocese, but the point I'd like to make is, and the Archbishop says that you're not going heresy hunting, but I think it is important to note, again, around governance, that when Bishop Joseph Duffy stepped down, he said that his one greatest regret is that the bishops had largely ignored Vatican II. In terms of governance, the role of, like, you have it here, a new focus on the role of the laity. Like, I feel like I'm not even old enough to go back to Vatican II. I'm amazed to even read it in black and white. And what does a new focus on the laity? This reads like, you know, we're talking about seminaries, we're talking about bishops. We have 26 bishops and 26 dioceses still today, now after 2 years of waiting for a visitation report. The role of the laity, what is it? Why don't you bring somebody like Mary McAleese into the Bishop's Conference and get somebody like that to give you advice on a regular basis? Bring in some women, bring in some laymen, and stop this clericalism.
Okay, is there a question or something?
And would you do that? Will you open up? And the Archbishop of Dublin said he wouldn't have a lay forum, it'd be a talking shop. Will you have a lay forum? Will you bring laymen?
We had Diocesan Pastoral Council last Sunday week.
Will you bring men on a national basis?
As a national.
Open up the Bishop's Conference. Bring in lay people.
Well, a Bishop's Conference is for bishops, you know, that's by definition. Same as a journalist conference, it's for journalists. To answer your question, go back and answer your question. By reason of baptism,
yes,
you and I have responsibilities, rights, and duties in the church. And I look forward to you and your paper in your coverage of the Year of Faith. You'll have many opportunities to return to the Catechism and Vatican II, because that's what the Year of Faith is all about.
Archbishop Mark.
I just say, you know, that encouraging the role of the laity is not just simply holding a forum. What is happening this week, I will be at meetings in the five areas of my diocese about a number of questions. This ongoing involvement of the laity is actually very strong, but it's a grassroots one. All the movements are not entirely imported. The Legion of Mary is undergoing a great renewal in the country. The St. Vincent de Paul Society is probably imported, but it's been here for a very long time. We have movements like Youth 2000, which is entirely an Irish movement. There is much more ferment of this kind that's taking place. And it's taking place within parishes. Parishes are unrecognisable compared to the situation.
You spoke about your own regrets around the young people, you know, and they haven't been reached out to properly. So.
Well, we haven't. They're being reached out to, but we may not be getting the response, but we're still at it.
Let me just close by saying that, again, I'm happy to be here, and one of the things that I wanted to close with is...
Sorry, Nuncio, may I ask you a question about the Vatican's own stewardship on this issue?
I think it's an excellent question, which would require a long discussion.
I would say that
in answer to that question, that in all of these areas, there has been a progression in learning and an improved addressing of problems. Of that, there can be no doubt. In fact, I made a reference to that in my small homily in Archbishop Martin's Cathedral about a month ago, that the Holy Father has been at the forefront of making our procedures more effective in protecting children. Because as the Archbishop said at the beginning, at the center of this are the children, the future of your country, the ones who carry the Catholic faith into the future. And there's nothing more important than that. And I think that the Holy Father Benedict can be very, that he has been outstanding in his desire and his efforts to make our procedures more and more effective in that area.
But in respect, the institutional church in the Vatican didn't tell the Catholic Church here explicitly to go to the civil authorities with reports of crimes until very recently.
The Catholic Church has always taught citizens and bishops, and bishops are citizens, to obey the laws of the country without reserve.
Okay. Thank you, Cardinal Brilliant.
Just laws must be obeyed and must be followed, and when they're not followed, it is wrong.
Finally, Cardinal Brady.
I just want again to thank you for your presence here. Thank you also for the questions, which I will send the rest of us back to read this more carefully. You've pointed out things that need to be thought about. Also, may I encourage you through your media to invite people to read this document, an important document. It is a great potential, I think. There's numerous other things. The mission, for example, didn't come up. But above all, to read it and to think about it and see what is it inviting each one of us to do. Thank you once again for this press conference.
Thank you for being here. Thank you.